Welcome once again to the wonderful world of Circulus, a 5th edition homebrew D&D campaign. I am your host and DM, sometimes called Aaron, sometimes called Crash, sometimes called What Are You Doing Here? Who trusts you with people? Why? Whatever. And with me today are some fabulous people. Amongst our friends are such diverse elements as...
I am Vexaren, the Half-Elf Ranger.
Fennex, a Dragonborn Paladin.
Obey Metalcaster, a Dwarf Cleric.
And I am Aristobulus Ravenscroft, Human Wizard.
In our previous adventures, we had a bit of a kerfluffle, and it involved a Dragonborn willing to try very strong gnomish brewed alcohol, a dwarf willing to take one for the team and prevent the Dragonborn from doing that, and thus suffer the first hangover he'd ever had in his life.
And me having the alcohol in the buckets.
Well, if you ever need to remove half a stump, you can do that now. A wizard choosing to stay behind to assist and look after said hungover dwarf. And three characters going into a mostly deserted dwarven settlement that apparently has been wiped out, and then getting outwitted by a kobold.
Oh, that's bad.
It hurt just slightly.
And then we did a one-shot. That was our last episode. Highly recommend that you listen to it or watch it, because it was a lot of fun, and there were no survivors.
Well, we tried our butts off.
I was rooting for you at the end. I was like, oh my gosh, he's actually going to make it to the entrance. If you had made it, I honestly would have said, and the doors are open, you can get through. I was going to try to retcon it somehow so that the party could encounter that character later on.
Now we get to encounter your corpse.
Possibly. Although, if you look in D&D Beyond, I don't know if you can see the other members of the party in there, in the campaign setting, but I did level up the two one-shot characters, so they're level 2 now.
Yay!
They think they're people. Okay, so we are going to start this adventure off, once again, doing just a little bit of backtracking. It's early morning. The party has left for Husan, and we have Obame and Ari hanging out in the Blast Radius Inn. Pretty much, Obame, you're still nursing quite a hangover. It didn't get any better when Vex walked past your room for the night and banged heavily on the door. He thought that was a good idea. He still thinks it's a good idea. And I'm not making that up. That is literally what his character did.
You want to stop doing that?
No, it's too fun.
Okay, but at this point, that party has left. So Vex and Ponk and Fennex have been gone. They've been gone actually for several hours. And Obame, you're starting to feel a bit better.
Can I go to anybody serving breakfast right now? I need something to eat.
Sure, you can go downstairs.
Alright, let's go downstairs and get some food.
That works for me.
So, there's two main people that work in the inn itself. Those people are the proprietor and bartender for the inn, Grog Two Ears, who is an orc. Fairly well-dressed orc. Some would argue that he's a bit too civilized to be an orc, but there you go. And also an elf who just goes by Tara. Doesn't give a last name. Tara is nowhere to be seen this morning, but Grog is there doing his typical cleaning things that don't need to be cleaned, but I'm the bartender, so it's my job to clean things that don't need to be cleaned, so I keep up appearances routine. You ask him for breakfast, and he's able to give you some leftover stew and some slightly stale bread because they haven't made anything fresh today yet.
Very good.
And it is, once again, edible. And Grog looks you up and down and says, well, looks like you lived.
Yes, we did. Anyway, you would know where my friends have went.
Said something about going north to Husan.
How long was that ago? How many hours ago was this?
Maybe 2 hours.
All right. I want to finish my meal, and then we'll talk to my buddy next to me and see if we want to go follow them. What do you think?
I think we should go. They should not probably be left unsupervised for long.
I agree.
You sure? We got a pretty good lunch buffet.
I think this will hold me over for now. Hopefully this headache goes away. All right, let's go finish the meal, and then we'll get ready to head on out and follow them to where they're going.
All right. Now, you are, as a dwarf, incredibly unused to this condition. You didn't know dwarves could have a hangover.
First time I've ever heard of it.
Yeah, me too. So I'm just trying to play it along.
Well, to reiterate... the gear grinder alcohol, it's not whiskey, it's not bourbon, it's not beer, it is an alcoholic beverage unto itself. The bottle label does state in very specific text that it is something that can also be used to sterilize wounds, strip paint, and remove stumps. So... This is something that when used as a beverage, you're supposed to water it down. And you drank half a bottle of it.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to. What are you going to do?
Yes. If anyone else in the party had done it, it probably killed him.
But I'm walking, and it's all that matters.
Yes. Matter of fact, you can ride because you still have the horses that you got from Coombridge.
So you're saying I would have died?
If you'd failed a constitution save, it would have been bad, yes.
Oh, God.
It would have been pretty bad. Now, fortunately for Obame, you don't have to worry about the sun being way too bright for you, because it has apparently been raining all morning, so everything is overcast. The rain is hitting the ground a bit too loud for your liking, but you can deal with that.
All right. On our way, do we see anything out of the blue that I can tell, or if I even care at this particular moment?
Give me a perception check at disadvantage. And Ari, if you want to do a perception check also, you may do so, but not at disadvantage, because you wise decided that you did not want to risk death.
Okay.
What if I roll a natural 20? What do I do?
Drop back 10 and punt.
You still have to roll at disadvantage.
Yeah, I know. 10.
Okay. So
I have a 15 total.
Okay, so you do come up across a wagon that has gone off the road, and apparently the wagon, and it was more like a carriage than a wagon, but still it's not usable anymore. It and all of its occupants apparently have been crushed to death with rocks that fell out of the blue. You're not yet at the Husan Mountains, so they fell either out of the trees above or just fell out of the sky. And basically, there's a quick glance, tells you that there's really nothing salvageable here. There's nothing that can be done for the people that were here. There's no sign of the horse. And it's been raining all morning, so it'd be kind of hard to track it. The rain is doing a pretty good job of destroying any signs of tracks.
I wonder if Fenix was here.
I would guess. I mean, wagons are his thing.
That is definitely his thing.
You see two giant dragonborn handprints on the side of the wagon.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
There's our proof.
One of the corpses actually is of a dragonborn, but they are a copper dragonborn, not a gold one.
Okay, nothing to see here. Let's keep on going.
Yeah. All
right. So you're starting to feel a little bit better by the time you get to the Gate of Husan. However, there's no one there. The main door is wide open. There's little like alcove, like guard house type
Shacked.
Things. Yeah, it's sort of like the guards that guard the British royalty and stuff, and have the big funny hats and everything.
The beef
hey,
eaters.
Look at me, I'm a Yankee. I don't know things. Those are to either side of the main gate, but those are also empty.
Peculiar that it would have shacks or sheds for guards and then not have them manned.
Anything around here that I can see? Maybe a fight or a struggle or anything?
There we go.
Outside? No.
Yeah.
But since the door is wide open, it does not take a perception check to see that there is a lot of blood on the ground.
That's not good.
Nope.
With streaks going from the blood, like something fell, bled a lot, and then was drug away.
Blood was drug inside that? Inside?
Drug further inward.
All right, let's go ahead and head in.
Yeah.
You enter what is apparently an incredibly wide hallway. It's about 50 feet wide. The ceiling is in some places 30 feet up, in some places a little bit higher, in some places a little bit lower. It looks like one of the things that the dwarves here were doing was carving it out to make it taller. So they're sort of doing it in stages. There's scaffolding in various places. There are shops and carts to either side, and various areas carved out to look like more shop fronts and domiciles and things like that. There's a second story on either side with a railing and more buildings that are carved directly into the stonework. There apparently is one cart that used to be full of pots and pans and wind chimes? Yeah, there's wind chimes there. And cymbals that is knocked over on its side. And that those contents have been strewn over a fairly large area. It looks like someone really made a mess of the place.
Any hallways or pathways to the... as we're walking in to the right or left of us, or is it that's all just the things you described earlier?
Yeah, there are tons of doors and hallways to either side. This main entrance, this main hallway is like the main thoroughfare. If this was an above-ground city, this would be like the main street.
All right, well, let's go ahead and follow the blood trail and see where it takes us.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, so... both of you give me a perception check.
Natural one? Critical miss?
16. Yes. Yeah, 16. 13 and 3.
Okay. So, Obame is busy noticing that he has feet. Actually, he's still shaking. I'm going to roleplay it as he's still shaking off the last of his hangover. He's really not used to this. And he's a bit distracted by the fact that there's no dwarves around.
Sad.
And a lot of carnage. In some spots, there's like char marks on things. That's not right. Ari, however, hears a noise off in the distance, and he looks up just in time to see a very small, maybe about the size of Punk, maybe a bit shorter, humanoid, lizard-like creature. Now, Ari, in your studies, you have learned about many animals. It's bookish knowledge, not like practical knowledge, like what a ranger would have. But like, if you went to a zoo, you'd be like, "Oh, I know what that is. That's a hippo," even though they don't live anywhere near where you grew up.
Right.
And you wouldn't know anything about like what hippos eat or whether or not they could cut a man in half with their bite or whatever. But your best guess is this thing looks like a cross between a human, or rather, it looks like a cross between a gnome and a crocodile. And just as you see it, and it sees you, it scurries off down a hallway.
Okay, what was that? Did you catch that? Did you see that, Obame?
I was too busy looking at my feet.
I think that... No, that's... No. What was it doing down here?
Was that up on the second floor or on the first floor?
It was on the first floor.
Right. Okay, we need to follow that, whatever that was.
Yeah, I'm thinking we should. Let's carefully though, because I'm not sure what that was.
Okay,
so we'll head down the hallway that I saw it.
How do you go down the hallway?
Let's see. Well, Obame's in the metal armor. And I'm in robes, so I'll volunteer that Obame take the lead.
Okay, no, we'll carefully go down wherever this guy is.
Yeah.
Okay, so
walk carefully, but not run.
Yeah, try not to make too much noise.
And okay, so if you're trying to not make too much noise, then I'm going to say give me a stealth check.
Okay.
12.
Ooh. 14 plus 3, 17.
All right, and I just did a roll too. My silence is because I'm rolling things. So Ari, what's your armor class?
Never a good response. Never a good response.
Well, I probably wouldn't have my mage armor up right now because there's no real threat, so we'll say it's a 13.
Okay. I need 2 constitution saves from you.
Okay.
And Obame, what's your armor class?
17.
All right.
Okay. You feel 3 against your armor, but they kind of just bounce off. There's a dart that's stuck in your chainmail, but it didn't go in far enough to actually pierce you.
Die here. Okay, first roll is a 12 plus 2 is 14. Second roll is a 17 plus 2, 19.
Okay, the world goes dark for you. You have fallen unconscious.
Nighty night.
And Obame, you look up and see that this is a hallway, but it opens up about 10 feet off the ground. To the second floor. It doesn't look like it was supposed to, but it does. It seems that there is a hole that should not be there. You can see some char marks on either side with your dark vision. And there are some beady little eyes looking down at you, and each set pair of beady little eyes happens to have a long, thin pole of some kind pointed in your general direction.
How far is it away from me?
They're about 10 feet off the ground. But they're right above you, so they're 10 feet away.
Can I shoot a guiding bolt to where they're at?
You may certainly can try.
All right, let's go ahead and do that. 24.
Okay, so I'm not going to have you roll for damage. Basically, you have created a glitter bomb. Because kobolds aren't known for having a massive pool of hit points.
It's radiant damage.
Yeah. So little tiny bits of sparkly kobold flesh rain down around you. It drops the long thin pole that it had, of course. And as it falls to the ground in front of you, you can see that it's a blowgun of some kind.
Trying to figure out why did he pass out. I don't think it killed him. I don't think it knocked him out as far as because of his hit points. So I'm assuming there's something in this. Is there any way I can detect them, anything that's medicine that's inside this? This blowgun?
Well, it's just a hollow tube. Okay. But you're... I'm not even going to have you do a roll for it. You're fairly certain that there's some type of chemical that's on the darts that were bouncing off of you. And the five kobolds that remain all reload and shoot at you again, but you are once again impervious to their blows. Although one of them is sticking out of your beard at a rather rakish angle.
God, do I want to take them on by myself? Is there... Can I heal Mr. Sleeping Guy down there?
It doesn't really look like he's injured. He's just unconscious.
I think, what do I have?
I mean, if he's injured, it's not by much. Maybe a single hit point. And I know I didn't roll for initiative, but it's pretty much just you and them. So I'm just going back and forth at this point.
All right, let's go ahead and hit Mr. Man with lesser restoration.
Okay, refresh my memory. What exactly does that do?
You touch a creature and it can end one disease or condition affecting it. The condition would be blinded, deafening, paralyzed, or poisoned.
Okay, and that would take care of the poison. So, Ari, you wake up.
Huh? Well, who? Where are we? What happened?
Duck, get out the way.
I'll follow orders. Where can I crawl to?
Is there any wall or something like that he can kind of go behind that this particular area would block kind of out of the passageway that these guys are blowing into?
If you want to be out of line of sight of these things, the fastest way is back the way you came out of this hallway.
All right, I will stand up and run behind Obain back where we came.
All right, we're gonna have to blow these things out of the sky, so let's go ahead and do that.
Who's in front?
I will be.
All right. I can do that if I can get a good clear shot.
You take two darts to the back. Give me two more constitution saves.
Oh, man.
Obain, you seem to have developed an immunity to darts.
Oh, right.
Because I cannot roll to hit you to save my life. I mean, the kobolds. The kobolds cannot roll to hit you to save their lives.
I got a 17. Yeah, I got a 17 and an 18.
Oh, you're fine.
All right.
You feel a little sluggish, but you're shaking it off.
Can I hit him with... Let's see, attack roll with him. Okay, I'm going to hit him with Bless.
Okay.
Because that can affect saving throws.
Correct. At higher levels, when you cast a spell using a second slot or higher, you can... one more creature, one more slot. Yeah, right. It'll give you one free additional saving throw. And then I'm trying to figure out, is that an action? Bless
usually does... 1d4 to attacks, saving throws, etc.
Correct.
Yeah. So okay. I get to add the d4 to my roll. I may need it because I'm not great at con.
All right. So I just cast it on him. That's one action. What else do I have? I'm assuming it's his turn now.
We can assume that.
Okay.
All right. I basically want to... They're 10 feet above.
They're 10 feet above and maybe 20 feet behind you at this point.
Okay. They're in a hole in the ceiling, I'm assuming. I think that's what you had said. Okay, so how big is this hole?
It might be like... Well, it's not a square, but if it was a square, it'd be 5x5.
Oh, okay, perfect. Then I am going to try to trot up a couple of feet, and we're going to use a second level spell here called Snilox Snowball Swarm. And in a 10-foot radius, we will throw 3d6 cold damage, and they'll get a dex save against it.
Well, roll for damage, and then I'll decide if I should even bother rolling a dex save.
You may not want to. 2 5s and a 6. 16.
Do you want to build a snowman? It doesn't have to be a snowman.
Snow creature with lizard-like scales.
They are pelted. You might think that there were some rocks inside of those snowballs because they're not getting back up again. One of them falls through the hole. Makes a very not nice sound as it hits the ground.
How many was that he hit, Holm?
Well, it was an area effect spell.
Yeah. Oh, okay, gotcha.
They were in it.
It's 10 feet diameter, so...
Okay, I think that's pretty much everybody.
That's what I figured. I figured that's going to be enough room. Shoot it up, bang. Whatever's up there ain't no more.
Pretty much, and since it was kobolds, it was pretty much a... Yeah, roll a dex save to see if you die a little or a lot.
Right. 8 or 16, and I doubt even the save probably... Yeah, no worries. We didn't know how many were up there. I figured I'd take a chance.
Okay. So you run out of... you don't run out of the hallway. So you've done this.
No.
You're still in the hallway.
Right.
But you don't appear to be in combat anymore.
Okay. Nothing threatening.
That Final Fantasy fight music that you keep hearing in the back of your head is
I am going to take a moment to cast my mage armor spell because now we're definitely in a hostile environment.
I'm going to take these darts out of my chest
and pull them out of my robes and my body and
your ass.
Perhaps at least in my back. Don't do that.
Okay,
cat.
So you de-dart yourself. And you hear movement behind you. Well, I'm assuming it's behind you. It depends on if you're facing it. You hear it coming from the way you came in.
Okay,
yeah. All right.
Turn around.
Ask you to roll to see if you heard it. It's loud enough that a roll wouldn't be necessary.
Oh, hell. All right, what do we got? Let's go and turn around and see what we got.
You see nothing because it's too far away for your dark vision to pick up on it.
Holy crap.
Meanwhile, Arya's like, okay, I trust that you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because you never said anything about lighting any source of illumination.
Well, I have no light of illumination.
I do. I can.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get that done.
All right. I'll cast a light cantrip on something. Stick, my wand. I think I have a wand. Yeah, we'll do it on my wand.
Okay, you're not going to cast it on Ovame's beard?
No, that would... unless he wants me to, I mean...
It is so glorious. It is definitely glorious.
Well, he does like turning things into glitter bombs. He is the most fabulous of dwarves. Okay, so you now armed with something that can let you see and also do copious amounts of damage if you so wish, can go where you want to go.
All right, we need to...
We want to go toward the rumbling?
It's probably our party, so yeah.
All right, yeah. Damn it, party! All right, let's go.
Probably our friends. Let's head towards the loud noise.
Okay. What's the range for your light cantrip?
Light cantrip is a 20-foot radius of light with 20 okay. feet extra dim light. Okay, so that dim, 40 feet total, or 20-foot radius bright, 20-foot more dim. So take your pick.
So not as good as dark vision, but
no,
you don't have it, so it's pretty darn good. Yep. Okay, so you go out of the hallway again, and give me a perception check.
Twelve.
Good Lord, this is driving me nuts. Nine.
That's what
you
I rolled.
Nothing.
Yeah. Darn it! No, I rolled a four. I had a five plus five perception. That's how bad it is.
Yeah. All right, we keep moving then towards the sound.
Well, you knew the sound was coming from outside the hallway, but now that you're out of the hallway, you don't know where the sound was coming from.
We can't tell. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
You are in a underground complex, so there are significant echoes.
We only have the one hallway we can actually follow at this point. There are many hallways,
many doorways.
We went down the one we saw the kobold and, well, creature. And now we've snowed in several of them. Do we want to proceed down that hallway or can try another one, Obeam?
Well, the sound we heard was in the main hall, correct?
Well, we lost track of it when we came back. The echoes were too hard to trace.
You heard something behind you when you were facing further into the hallway. So you knew there was something that was either in the main hallway or something in one of the buildings or something in one of the other hallways.
We were unable to narrow down which other entrance exit from this area that it came from.
I think we should stay in the main hallway just to figure it out. We go down that hallway, we're going to have to go back around, come back out it again.
Okay.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Give me another perception check.
There we go. 17.
Oh, that's really good.
15.
Okay, so you hear Vex's unmistakable voice say, "We are not smart people."
Oh, hell.
We try to follow Vex's voice.
All right. So...
And you'll get no argument from me.
You go into a nearby building and you see a square hole in the floor that is almost covered up with a square chunk of floor, but it looks like it was lifted up, but then not put down flat. It's blocking the hole. You can't see through it, but it's off kilter. So if you wanted to, you wouldn't know it was there if you weren't looking down at it off kilter. It's like someone didn't put a manhole cover down properly.
Got it. So it's askew.
No, it's a piece of floor.
Oh.
I don't know what it's
called. Oh, like a secret door. Got it.
I'm being facetious. Please continue.
All right.
Is Vex's voice coming through that hole right there?
You heard him, but you don't currently see him.
Is there any way you can illuminate inside there before I jump down in it?
I could. Do we have a loose rock? I mean, I could cast the cantrip on the rock or something, drop it down the hole.
I'm sure
there's currently
a
large piece of stone floor blocking the hole.
We're going to have to move that regardless.
Who's stronger, you or me? All right, let's see.
By 1 point, it's Obeam.
The wizard and the cleric need to move a heavy rock. Can I attempt to assist to give him advantage?
You know what? Sure.
All right, hold on.
Do you want me to roll anything to help him assist?
I roll a 15.
Okay, now I was going to have you succeed no matter what because, frankly, I want you to catch up to the rest of the party. otherwise everyone else just be sitting there going, being very quiet for way too long. So yeah, you manage to move it. You don't manage to move it very well because it is a square stone blocking a square hole. You are able to get it to sort of move diagonally, so it falls down about 4 or 5 feet to a passageway underneath, and it makes a very loud reverberating sound. You feel it more than hear it.
I try and I'll put my stick my head in here shortly and, or in it and then yell out, "Vex, Vex, can you hear me?"
Am I close enough to hear him?
At this point, I'm going to say you had already run off towards the source of the water.
Okay.
From the previous episode.
All right, let's go ahead and jump down there.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to retcon it too much.
All right, let's go ahead and get down there.
Lead the way.
Okay.
Let's make sure we light illuminate, because I'm assuming it's dark. But I don't know how much wand, I can see this.
Yeah, the wand has the light spell on it, so.
How good can I see in here? Is this pretty much just black and white?
Well, with the wand there illuminating things, you're close enough to it that that's really messing with your dark vision.
Yeah, I figure we're adjacent to each other.
Yes.
All right, let's keep on going then.
Yep.
So you're going down passageways that are very rough cut. They do not appear to be of dwarven make. It's amateur work, really. You personally don't tend to work with stone too much, but you know... subcontracted stuff from the lowest bidder when you see it. This is not a union job.
Probably gnomes.
You don't feel like you're about to explode or get turned into a strange creature at any moment, so you're fairly certain it's not gnomish of origin. Alright, so this passageway is apparently was very recently flooded. The floor is still... It's got puddles everywhere. If you look at the wall, there's a high water mark that's about ankle high. But you're not splashing through it at this point.
Weird.
Any particular passages we're in right now that we can branch off to? Or, you know, I'm still yelling Vex, see if they can hear me.
The passageway goes in two different directions. You think you can hear something in one direction more than the other.
All right, let's go ahead and head the direction.
Yeah, we'll follow that. We'll follow the noise.
All right. So you catch up to Ponk, Vex, and Fenix as they're all looking up at what is apparently the underside of a cistern that at one point recently had been full of water.
Vex found the toilet again.
No, cistern.
Oh, cistern.
It was the settlement.
Oh, this is good water. This is good water.
Yes. It's a cistern, not cesspool.
Cesspool. Turn pool. Close enough for government work.
Okay, so Vex and Fenix, you've got company.
I was wondering when you guys were going to show up.
My head was hurting.
Hey, I know. Strange creatures tried to shoot us with poison.
Kobold.
Say what now?
Oh, right. Kind of like a lizard crossed with a gnome. They're not nice people.
Well, I believe I froze several.
I had to pick him up. He fell asleep for 2 seconds.
Good.
I was poisoned. I was savaged.
And it turns out Fenix is a mimic. Roll for initiative. No.
Crash.
Yes.
All right. So what's going on here, Vex?
By the looks of it, the entire city was massacred. That's about all we know.
From how? What? I mean, was it creatures that did this?
Well, the only thing we've seen down here is kobolds, so I'm assuming it was them. But that's literally all we know. Lots of dead dwarfs, lots of kobold running around. Two and two together.
Although, to be fair, you have seen no dwarf corpses at all.
Well, lots of blood, no dwarfs running around.
Could the dwarves have just simply left?
possibly, but it seems like a lot of blood. A lot of gore.
Alright, so we're going to want to try and continue here. I don't know if there was anything blocking you guys from continuing, or this is just something we're going to start exploring ourselves.
Do I know roughly where that kobold ran off to? Can I try and track it down?
So, it appears that a very high volume of water has recently gone through the area from somewhere. Doing a very good job of washing away various tracks that you might have otherwise encountered.
Can Shepard try and sniff them out?
He can try.
Okay.
But he's going to have to go with disadvantage because, again, lots of water.
Then he gets just a normal roll because he already has advantage on smell checks.
Okay.
14. Not great.
Okay. So he quickly picks up a scent and he starts following it. I'm assuming you all chase after him.
Follow the puppy, guys.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. He turns right. Then he turns right. Then he turns right.
Okay,
he turns right. And you're back where you started, and he's happily running in a big circle.
What does the cistern look like? What are we at right now? Let's get a feeling of the room we're in right now.
Apparently, it from the looks of it, and you're underneath it, and there's no ladder to go up to it. But looking through the hole, your best guess is it was some type of natural cavity that the people of the settlement came across and decided, hey, you know what, this already has water in it, let's use this. Because it doesn't look like it was carved out properly. There's parts where it seems to have been patched, and there's like pipe work that goes into it and out of it. But there's no water coming in or out at this point, which is probably good, because if there was water coming into it, then you'd probably be amphibious at this point.
I agree, but the passage we came in through to find Vex and them, I'm assuming it opened up into this place where we see the cistern.
You are actually in a side passage.
Okay.
That went underneath the cistern.
Okay.
But to get here, it was kind of obvious that the various side passages are all joining up with a main tunnel that heads off to the east.
So, how many passageways are there, excluding the one we just came from?
Oh, you want an exact count? Look. You see 8 passages that branch off from the main tunnel. And, you know, some of them also have tributaries coming off of them.
It's a needle in a haystack.
Where is the, is there anything in the floor that this stuff is draining to? Is there a specific passageway that this water has been draining to? Can we at least tell that? Where the runoff is?
So, mostly what happened was when this cistern was broken from underneath, the water all came out, but because the tunnels down here cover such an expansive area, it just spread out to the point where it couldn't really do much.
We're just going to have to hit one by one, man.
Yep.
So you're going to pick a side passage at random?
Can I try and listen to see if I can hear anything with my elven ears?
Go ahead, give me a perception check.
I'm throwing things at the wind here.
actually,
that's good.
Also, remember, kobolds are humanoids.
Okay. I have things that I could do for that. So I do. I don't get anything for wisdom, it's just intelligence checks, or survival for tracking.
You're trying to find kobolds. I want you to be able to progress, I really do. So
no, I understand, but it would be a survival check then, rather than a perception then for tracking, yes?
Oh, we could do survival, sure.
Okay, then I would have advantage, because I don't have advantage on perception, it's just survival. Right, okay, so the first one was a 15 plus... No, 19 plus, so it's 23.
Okay, so you definitely hear the pitter-patter of little feet.
I know where he is.
What direction? Let's go.
I should reiterate, you hear the pitter-patter of more than one set of little feet.
Oh. Coming from multiple directions?
Now, you're in one of the side tributaries.
Mm-hmm.
You hear it coming from the main tunnel.
Follow me, and I start heading down the main tunnel.
Alright, that's it.
And as I'm going, I want to check for traps.
You find some spots that look like they would have been traps, but a large amount of water came through and sort of triggered them already or ruined them.
I keep forgetting about the water.
Yes. Now, if they'd been up higher, that would have been worthwhile. But these things were set down low, and I'm not even happy you rolled to spot them. All right.
Kay.
So you're in the main hallway.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fairly certain that the sounds you heard were coming from the east, where the tunnel goes off.
Okay. Heading down there.
Okay. How are you going down there?
Fenix, you going first?
Heck yes.
Hold on real quick.
Should we have the beefies at the front and the back?
We should, but let me... Okay, I'm going to cast resistance on Fenix as he goes forward.
What does that do?
You touch one willing creature before the spell ends, which is 1 minute. The duration of D4 and add the number of rolls to one save throw of his or her choice. So, you know, if he gets stung by poison again, just like Mr. Man that fell asleep over here, he'll at least be able to have a little more resistance.
So, order Fenix.
I'm not going to be in the front. I'm not going to be behind Fenix. I'll be, if we go in order, I'll probably be Fenix, you, me, and then Ari in the back.
I'm the infantry.
And technically, Punk is still with you, but.
Yeah, so BT in the back.
Punk somewhere.
Put Punk in the back because he can. He's beefy.
Okay.
I'll put Punk on my shoulders.
No, he's in the back. He's a meat shield.
You decapitate him because the tunnel's only about 4 or 5 feet high and you're 6 foot tall.
Yeah, you're kind of. You're kind of.
It's like sandpaper against a gnome as you run down the tunnel.
I just slowly just drag him.
So
eventually you're just holding 2 feet. It was the way he would have wanted to go.
No, it's not.
Can't wait to have Tom back on. Well, you died during travel.
Y'all can party kill. I love killing him.
Same team.
Alright, let's continue this.
Fortunately, he's not PvP flagged,
so you can't actually do damage to him.
I've got my bow out with an arrow notch as we're going down.
Alright.
I got my awesome sword.
Okay, give me a perception check. Whoever's in the lead. I'm assuming that was Fenix, you said.
Yep.
So yep. Logan.
Okay.
Why?
It was a 1, wasn't it?
No, it was an 18, but...
Okay, so that is more than high enough. As you're running down this main tunnel, the ground looks a little bit different in this spot. You can't quite put your finger on it, but there's definitely an edge where the ground stops and starts again. Like it. Have you ever cut construction paper apart and then put the sides together, but you turned it so that you can see the grain is going in a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that.
So it's still stone.
Yeah, you look down and you see rough cut stone, but it doesn't look like...
It's just different.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it fit back together the right way.
Okay. Okay.
Do you want to keep on going?
Yeah, we need to keep on going. But
keep on going, Phoenix.
Nervous.
All right.
Okay, so you step forward.
This dragonborn has not turned around yet.
Onto the stone that doesn't quite look right. And nothing happens.
Yay!
What do you do?
Keep on moving.
Okay, you keep on moving. Nothing happens. What does everyone else do?
I step on it.
Nothing happens.
Okay, you're the worst.
I step on it.
Nothing happens.
I step on it and keep going.
Okay. As soon as the last person steps onto it, it falls out from underneath you.
God damn it.
Oh my god.
You wake up. You are in a totally different location. You are still underground. You do not appear to be wearing your armor. You do not
Turn it!
To have your weapons. You appear to be bound and gagged.
The real question, where's my dog?
You hear a bit of whimpering over to the side. As you look around, you are not blindfolded, so you can look around. You are in another cave. This appears to be a lot more natural. Like, there's parts that were chipped out a bit to make it larger in various directions, but otherwise it appears to be a natural formation. There are poles that might be wood. Some of them are wood, some of them are metal. It's rather haphazard, but they're creating a sort of cage around you. And you are there. Vex is there, Ari's there, Obaim is there. Ponk is not in the same cage as you. He's over to the side, tied to the wall upside down. Vex and Obaim, you realize that this is the case because kobolds and gnomes do not really get along very well.
No.
You do not see Fenix at all. We'll get to you in a little bit. You're still around, but you're just not in this area. Okay. Now, Justice is here, tied up. Really, just one rope around the wings, and tying the feet together at the same time. So it's like a little bundle of hawk or eagle or whatever. Not in a cage, just like sitting next to the cages. Shepherd is next to Justice, sort of leashed to the wall, but also...
shackled or is it rope?
It's rope. But also Shepherd has some rope around his mouth as a sort of muzzle. And the room has a bit of a glow to it. There's some lichen or moss in here that is giving off a very faint light. So, you wouldn't want to read by it, but even those of you without dark vision can look around the room. And see this. That's why you're able to see what's going on. There is also seems to be a low fire that's off in the distance to the left of you. You don't know which way is north, south, east, or west in here. There appears to be a tunnel off. There's tunnels going off in multiple directions. There's several that are in front of you. There's this low fire that's off to the left. Off to the right, there's another tunnel that appears to go down rather than up or level. But most of this seems to be flat land. You hear the sound of running water. It's loud enough that you're not able to hear what kobolds are talking about, but you do see various kobolds that are like ambling around and walking around and stuff. So that's your situation. Let's move on to Fenix.
What did I say?
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so you come to. Sitting on what appears to be a rough-cut stone chair. It's built for someone of your size, actually. And it's fairly comfortable to sit in. Your neck is a little sore because you were placed in this while unconscious. So your head was sort of like over to one side for a little bit too long. And so you got a crick in your neck. You are still wearing your armor. And as you start to sort of kind of wake up and start to look around at your surroundings, you see that in front of you are more of these strange creatures that you encountered the last time. Since your character is from this world, so you don't know really what kobolds are other than what Vex sort of said about them being like lizard gnome things. But they are in front of you, kneeling and bowing.
What? Son of a...
Saw this coming.
Yeah, me too.
I whisper to myself, yes.
Well done.
You are a god.
What is going on?
Because right now, if I ask the rest of the party, they're going to say I struggle against my bindings.
Oh no, I've got a better idea than that.
Real quick, I'm assuming I don't have my ring of protection or my handy haversack.
You don't have your haversack with you. They took that. And trying to feel for the ring, you don't think you feel that either. But your hands are tied behind you, so you can't really take a look.
Who am I sharing a cell with?
Of you are pretty much in the same cell together. There's one next to you that seems to have some dwarves. Right. You don't recognize any of the dwarves.
Right, hoping this works...
Oh, you crash.
Hoping this works. Because I don't think they speak Undercommon. I say to Ovain in Undercommon, hoping that the kobolds don't understand this. Back to back, and I'll try and untie your ropes.
Are those dwarves awake?
From what you can kind of see, they're similarly bound, and they're not currently actively struggling, so you don't know. And remember I said you're also gagged.
Oh, yeah, we're gagged.
So
damn
what
it.
You said was... You sounded like one of the adults in a Peanuts cartoon.
Yeah.
However, I do have a survival check, so I'm wondering if I can determine if I can get the gist of what he's saying.
You know what? Heck with it. Do a roll for that.
24, baby!
So, afterwards, you're going to have a talk with Vex about his accent, because it was a bit off. He enunciated the second syllable when, for that word, typically you're supposed to enunciate the third.
In fairness, I speak four languages. I'm not going to be good at all of them.
Instead of saying back to back, he said back to potato. But you get the idea. Because aren't four languages. One of those languages where it's not just the word, but it's which syllable you emphasize, and it can mean totally different things. But you get the idea.
Not going to be good at them all. Would that be a sleight of hand check to try and get out of this?
I would say yes, but at disadvantage.
Don't screw me, James. Not terrible. 12.
You succeed in making the knots tighter.
Damn it.
Obeying, some of your fingers go numb.
Oh, great.
Well, I'm trying.
All right. So, Fenix, is there anything that you're doing? You don't know that you don't know where your friends are. You don't even know if you're in the same cave system. You just know that you've got a bunch of supplicant worshippers in front of you.
And I'm not tied up at all?
No. A matter of fact, you are still armed and armored. There appears to be one smaller kobold that is currently polishing your breastplate of your armor. They've got a little they have a little rag. Every now and then they spit into it and then try to scrub at an annoying piece of dirt.
Wait.
It is gleaming in the low cave light.
And I can't communicate with any kobolds, right?
You can try.
You can try.
Is it...
I'm trying to think. I'm going to say this is a retroactive perception check.
What's that?
Just roll perception.
It means I'm going to... Yeah, roll perception, and I'm going to say that you noticed something before.
17. No, 16.
Okay, that's good enough. So when you were going through the cave system, not the cave system, but the tunnel system, you did notice that there were occasional scrawling. Some of them were directional, like, you know, go this way or three trapdoors that way or whatever, but they were all sort of scribbled in Draconic.
Mm.
And that's why it stuck in your mind, because you happen to speak Draconic, since you're a dragonborn. Actually, that's what I was assuming. I need to look at your character sheet. You do speak Draconic, right?
Yeah, I'm a dragonborn.
That's what I thought, but I was waiting for that long pause to mean,
I speak
that language I've just heard of now.
My earbuds just fell off, so.
Oh, okay. So, you know that... Something in those tunnels was writing in Draconic, so you think that maybe these things might understand it if you spoke it.
I'm going to ask that kobold that's polishing my armor in Draconic, what's going on?
I'm trying to think of how to make this kobold speak.
Jersey Shore accent.
I'm sorry?
Jersey Shore. Do it. You know, you want to.
I can't pull off most accents. I don't know if I want to do that, because I'll probably fail miserably.
Funny, though.
Also, I've never watched Jersey Shore.
It's just a Jersey accent.
Valley Girl accent.
Oh, make him a Valley Girl.
Or a surfer, dude. Whatever.
Everything just has an upward inflection.
Like, we're totally cleaning your armor?
That filled me with great joy.
Just trying to make you super, super cool looking. not that you weren't super cool looking before, great powerful one. Please don't smite me.
Yeah, pretty sure my character already gets it now.
At the sound of you asking what's going on, the ones that are bowing in front of you realize that you're awake, and they sort of like they continue the same action, but it's kind of like you've taken the YouTube video and changed the play setting so that it's like 1.25 speed instead of normal speed, so they're just moving a bit faster. You can hear some of them whispering things like, "Oh great master, oh great powerful one, deliverer." Give me a perception check.
14.
Okay. That's pretty much what you hear. Okay, let's go back to the rest of the party. So with your attempt to untie Obame, you do attract someone's attention. It's hard to really make them out because the cave light is there, but it doesn't create a whole lot of light, and they appear to be coming from the cooking fire. I spoiled it. Yeah, they're coming from that fire that's off to the left, so they have a brighter light source directly behind them, so they're sort of silhouetted, but they're sort of crawling on all fours towards you, like they would not be able to stand upright in this cave system very well. And as it gets closer, it looks like they're sort of dressed in like really old, ratty clothing. In some cases, it's kind of raggy. But it's not a zombie. You don't smell rotting meat. You actually smell... Obame, you recognize the smell because as a dwarf, you know that some dwarven communities will have underground farms where they'll grow mushrooms and stuff. And you're smelling that. You think there might be a farming area nearby that the kobolds are using for sustenance. But this creature that comes towards you, as it gets closer, you notice that its clothing seems to be filled with straw. And where the limbs poke out of the clothing, they appear to be made out of sticks.
Scarecrow.
And it comes up, pretty much. It comes up to the cage bars. You don't see a door for this cage, by the way. It's just like the bars were put in place. And just sort of tilts its head to the side and looks at you. And he goes,
"Your efforts will be fruitless. Escape is very much impossible for you."
That's not creepy at all.
Vex, give me, I'm going to say a history check.
Is it a humanoid I'm getting in for one?
No.
Okay. Just cheesing for that advantage, bro. Five.
Okay.
You're going in jail. Yes, you are.
Yeah, you put it down right next to Vex. Okay, so yeah, you don't know anything about this thing other than just whispered to you in a very creepy voice. By the way, give me a wisdom saving throw.
Oh God, okay.
All of us are just.
In this case, just Vex. Vex is the one that the Scarecrow is talking to.
18.
Okay, you feel a wave of a natural fear wash over you, but it washes over you. It's past you now. Not only did it creep you out, you felt like there was something, some type of magical aura. Fenix.
Yay.
So now you do realize that your sword was not actually in its scabbard, but there is a kobold that is coming towards you with a fairly large four kobold pillow that on top of this pillow is sitting your sword. And it appears to have also been polished and cleaned, and it's sort of sparkling a little bit. And it comes over and kneels down in front of you and holds the pillow up so that you can pick up your sword and put it back in the scabbard or wave it around or do whatever.
I take the sword and just, like put it in my holster.
Okay. And they continue to you know, speak about how awesome you are and how you will deliver them from the monsters.
Can I tell them what happened to the people next to me?
They sort of look around like, what people? Like, I was trying to speak like the scarecrow. Like, which people?
Before I was knocked out.
Oh. Well, you don't need to worry. They're not gonna bother you anymore. They're gonna be used against the mouths.
What do you mean?
The mouths.
Who are those?
The ones that ate our chieftain, which is why the Great One sent you to us to save us.
Where did they take them?
Okay, and by the way, when the kobold that's answering says the Great One, almost in unison, all the kobolds in front of you go, "The Great One! The Great One!" and no accent whatsoever. They're sort of like almost chiming it. And they... give me a perception check.
17.
Okay, so you get this feeling that they're not looking at you right now. They're looking above you.
What's above me?
Well, above and behind you, carved into the cave wall, you see the symbol I just posted in Discord.
Yeah. Is that what I'm seeing?
That is... Now, you don't see it with a white background, but you do see that carved into the cave wall. They sort of gouged out where the lichen, the glowing lichen, would be also. So you see basically that wherever it's black in this image is also where it's just like a dark shadow in the wall.
Can I ask him where did the... What were those things called again?
You heard Vex call them kobolds.
No, not the kobolds, the things that took Vex.
The things that captured you?
Yeah.
Now, the world went dark when you fell through that trap. So... You can't be 100% certain that you were captured by the things that you were fighting earlier, but these are the things you were fighting earlier. The one that was polishing your armor, she seems to have finished, and she sort of just leans closer a little bit. You're assuming it's a she because her voice sounds a little feminine, but you're not entirely sure. The creatures in front of you pretty much look androgynous. You don't want to be that guy that says they all look alike, but they all kind of look alike. But she leans in a little bit and she says, frankly, we're really glad that you came by, because after our chieftain got eaten, we really only had the straw man. He's kind of a jerk.
Can I ask the person that the person that cleaned my sword and like sharpened it and everything? Where is my where they might have took my people? My clan.
They look confused by that. We are your people.
Logan, okay. To be more specific, love.
I'm gonna ask them the people that were here before I was knocked out. Where would where did they take the people that were here before I was knocked out?
You know what? Kind of don't know. I'll go check for you. And she goes down all fours and scampers off deeper into the cave. All right, let's move back over to the rest of the party. We're sorry, Obaim can't come to the phone right now. He's a bit tied up at the moment.
Yeah.
Are these bars around here, are they metal bars that are on?
Some of them are metal, some of them are wood. They appear, like everything else, to be kind of haphazard and thrown together.
Do I know what type of metal, since me being a metal caster?
it's not your middle name, but it is your last name. So, for the most part, they appear to be iron bars. The ones that are metal are iron. It looks like some spots they didn't have enough iron bars from wherever they scavenged these from. So there's some bars that are more like tree branches and stuff.
How big is the cage we're in?
It's big enough that if you roll around in your sleep, you're not going to end up getting a bit too comfortable on someone's stomach. But it's not big enough that you can do a lot of calisthenics if you are untied.
Huh. Trying to figure out. Vex is with us, right?
Yes.
I know, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, Vex is the reason your fingers are going numb.
I don't have any fire spells. I'd try and burn something.
Also you are bound and gagged, so any spell that would require you to wiggle your fingers, you can't do. Any spell that would require you to have a verbal component, you cannot do.
Captain Helpless over here.
Yeah.
All of us are Captain Helpless right now. Yeah.
It's almost as if the kobolds anticipated that you were spellcasters. And actually, now that we mention it, when you look over at Ponk, who is, like I said, tied upside down against a wall, he is also gagged. Although that might just be because he's a gnome.
Probably just because he's a gnome.
At this moment, you do see some kobolds coming over with bowls that have a bit of steam coming out of it. It kind of smells like mushroom stew, is your best guess. One of them tries to go over and give the bowl to Shepherd. And as it gets closer to Shepherd, Shepherd goes from occasionally whining to just low growl. And it's almost like it's like a proximity detector. As the kobold gets closer, the growl gets louder and lower. The kobold steps back, gets softer. Moves forward, it gets louder. It takes a step back, it gets softer. The kobold starts to get a little into this and sort of like jumping forward and backwards to change the octave of the growl.
I'm going to murder him.
Another kobold comes up behind the first one and slaps it upside the head. It spills a little bit of the mushroom stew.
I appreciate that, kobold.
As you continue to watch, you appear to be in the middle of a comedy of errors where they are trying to actually give food to Shepard without Shepard ripping them to pieces. And they're not quite sure how to do it.
I'd say something if I wasn't gagged, but I am, so I can't do anything.
A few more come over with stew for the party, and they quickly realize that it's really hard to feed someone who has a rag shoved into their mouth and tied in place. But they don't decide to untie you, so they just pour the mushroom stew on top of the rag and it goes down the front of you. It is probably the third most indignant thing that has been done to you this week. The Scarecrow's watching all of this. And it just goes,
"This is a waste of time. Their strength is recovered enough. Send them against the mouths."
And the kobolds just look at each other and sort of just scamper off.
"Soon you will trouble us no more. And the master will be pleased."
And the Scarecrow walks away.
So my feet are tied up too?
Yes.
Damn it!
Yeah, we're completely helpless right now.
I don't like being this hopeless. I am
rage. Nor do I.
I'm okay. Lawful. I am not lawful right now.
Okay, so after the Scarecrow goes away, one of the dwarves in the cage next to you sort of half sits up. And you hear him sort of mumble under his breath,
"I thought that bag of sticks would never leave."
In Dwarvish?
He says it in common.
Okay.
"Here, see if you can get up against the bars on my side."
All right, I try and scoot over to one of the bars.
Okay, he has a sharp rock, and he cuts your bonds apart.
Woohoo! Oh, my hands are free!
Don't make sudden movements. And tie the rest of your party if you can. But try to keep as much wrapped around your wrists and ankles as possible so they don't realize you're untied.
All right, I'll go over to Vex and try to get his...
Okay. So you untie Vex next?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to assume you just untie everyone you can.
Yes, as much as I can. Really quickly.
I'm not going to do the whole, "Then what do you do? And then what do you do?" Because I've already done that. Give me a deception check. That's a charisma roll if you don't have deception.
For all of us?
For anyone trying to hide the fact you've been untied.
12?
Deceptions plus 1, 13.
14.
Well, those all beat my rolls. Okay, I shouldn't have said that. All right, so you are untied. You are still in a cage, but if you needed to do something that maybe involved spell casting, you feel comfortable to be able to do that. However, you are also unarmed and unarmored at this point. Ari feels normal.
How long have we been out?
You don't know, but you don't feel like you've been injured. Like, there's some aches and pains. You know you've been tied up for a while, but you don't know how long.
But for spell purposes, have we been enough for a short rest or a long?
I would say long rest.
Oh, okay. My armor spell lasts for 8 hours. And I'm like, okay, if that spell's gone, then that gives me some indicator of how long we were out.
The spell is gone.
Okay, so we're out at least 8 hours.
Yes.
Which would definitely be a long rest. Okay.
If you had your spell book, you could memorize some new spells now.
Well, but I have what I have in my head, at least. So, we're not completely helpless anymore.
Obame can meditate and get his spells, though. So
I'm working on that right now.
Because I know you burned a bunch, so you've got those back, we're going to say.
I burned. I used 2.
Okay. Although, actually, oh.
Wizards do it. Wizards do it different now. Yeah, we choose what we choose, and we have spell slots. So I still have, like, Obame could change. I couldn't change my spells without my spell book. So I have what I have.
Yeah, but still... you got your spell slots back because it's been a long rest.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yes. All right. So fine.
Your strength is renewed, so you have the spell slots back. But like you said, you can't change the spells that are in your head right now.
All right. Well, that's okay. What I have will still work.
All right. Okay, so with this good news, back to Fenix.
Has that cool come yet?
It has not.
What's around me besides the symbol and the worshippers?
Well, there appears to be another stone chair next to you of similar make. It's like they carved 2 for the price of 1. The kobolds in front of you are all on mats that are on the ground. They look like they're woven not very well. Everything is pretty much roughshod. The cave that you are in sort of goes off into the distance in front of you. You can't see the far wall. But you can see the left and right walls as they go off. And the one to the right sort of... it looks like there's some type of barricade blocking an entrance or exit. There's some detritus and rocks that are piled up, and it looks like there's some spears and spikes sticking out of it, pointing away from this room, not towards it.
Can I move to the wall that I can't see the end to, which is forward?
As you stand up to start walking around, the kobolds, a lot of them start gathering around you, like, if you've ever seen a scene where someone's trying to walk through a crowd of excited children, and I might be triggering myself right now because I do teach 5-year-olds, they're all waist high, and you're not quite sure that you can walk forward without stepping on one of them. I have to say, I'm really liking this particular adventure. Not all of it, but I'm liking the experience of Logan trying to figure out what to do with an army of kobolds that's worshiping him as a god.
And he's trying to be as lawful as possible, because if it was him any other way, he would have destroyed them all.
No,
my minions. I would have the surface world.
I would have told them to for me to conquer all of Circulus.
We will forge a new nation called Logania.
No, Logia.
One of those.
You officially need to call me Elbust. No, but I'm gonna try to. I'm going to ask him to make a path for me.
They sort of reluctantly move and make a very, very narrow path, but you can kind of get through.
Okay, and I'll just walk through.
Okay, which way are you heading?
To the one where I can't see the end.
That's the entire cave.
Very far.
Oh, you're going to walk straight towards the back wall?
I'll move to the left.
To the left, okay. So there is a cave wall that extends off back towards the far end. It's uneven. It moves left and right, so it's a natural cave, basically. And you have a trail of kobolds following you. Eventually, the cave sort of narrows into an exit, and you step through into another area. There's the very loud sound of running water. Ahead of you, you see a lot of cots and what appear to be nests filled with eggs in this room. But along the right end of this, it's not a cave wall. It's an underground river that is flowing into what appears to be a whirlpool and disappearing.
Wow. So much to do.
Okay, on that note, let's switch back to the rest of the party.
Yay.
And Logan's like, I get to think about what I get to do now.
I just quietly say to Obain, I'm going to murder every kobold I see.
Even the armor polisher?
The armor polisher.
Okay, speaking of the armor polisher, now you don't know she's an armor polisher, but you see a smallish kobold, small for kobolds, which is quite small, come up to the cave, not the cave, the cages, and she ran up in all fours, and she stands up on her hind legs and she just sort of tilts her head and looks at you and tilts her head the other way. And she says in common, hello? Are you the Great One's friends?
We are.
We don't know that he's the Great One.
Let's just go with it.
Okay, we'll just go with it. Sure, yeah, we're the Great One's friends.
Her eyes sort of go wide, and she's like, I don't think you're supposed to talk when you've got a gag in your mouth.
We're stronger than you think. Otherwise we wouldn't be friends with the Great One, now would we?
Yeah, I get that. Well, in any case, and I'm tilting my head to the left and right as I'm saying this. If I
actually can I retroactively say that I'm draconic?
Sure. And as soon as you start speaking in draconic, she goes into draconic as well.
Just to make a point that we are friends with the Great One.
Okay. In any case, the Great One was asking if you were okay.
We're in a cage, and your friends have covered us in mushroom soup. We're not okay. Let us out.
Oh, it's mushroom soup night. That's good.
No.
Better than other nights. My name's Meepo. What's yours?
Hi, Meepo. I'm Vex. Can you let us out?
I don't know.
I cast friends on her.
So she gets a saving throw, right?
No, I get advantage on any charisma, any persuasion check on her to get her to do what I want.
All right. So are you going to roll persuasion?
I'm going to roll persuasion to try and get her to let us out. And that's a natural 20 on the second roll. So that's a persuasion 21.
Well, I guess if you're friends with the Great One and all, okay. And she goes and she goes up to one of the bars and looks at him. And she goes to the next bar. She goes to the next bar. I think we kind of forgot to put a door. And as you look around, yeah, there's no door to this cage.
Oh my god.
I was waiting for you to check the door and for me to let you know there was no door to this.
In fairness, we only dead just got undied.
This is true. This is true.
Some of these bars are wood.
Meeple, do you want to step back a minute and we'll try and break the wooden ones since you're letting us out and all?
Could we not make too much noise?
We will try and be as quiet as humanly possible.
She sort of leans forward and goes,
I really don't like the straw guy. He's
no,
a jerk.
Neither do I. He's a bit of She's not very nice.
Her eyes go wide when you say that particular word. But like when a little child hears an adult swear in a household, swearing isn't allowed.
Is that a swear? I'm sorry.
Well, she thinks it is.
Oh, okay.
It is considered uncouth, at the very least.
He kind of ripped my dad apart.
Daddy?
Yeah.
Oh, how about this? You let us out of here, and I'll rip him apart.
You do that?
In a heartbeat, my darling. You see that little puppy over there?
He looks very fluffy.
He's my little dog. He does whatever I say, and if I tell him to rip that scarecrow's head off, he will rip his head off. He's tougher than he looks. He's fluffy. But that's the whole point.
Can I pet him?
She's like, you think she might explode with how she's jumping up and down in front of you.
Tell you what, just because he doesn't know what's going on, better to let us out first. Better for us to get out first. Me to go and make sure he's okay, and then you can pet him. How's that?
Oh, okay. And she nods very vigorously. And she says,
wait here. I'll be right back.
Okay.
And she scampers off.
I hope it's quick. The spell doesn't last very long.
How long does the spell last?
A minute.
Okay, so looking back on it, this conversation appears to have taken longer than a minute. Okay, so, Fenix.
Alright, I'm going to head back to the middle of the cave where Symbol was.
Okay. So as you're heading back, the armor polisher runs up behind you. Like,
there you are! I was looking all over for you.
Did you find them?
She motions for you to lean down a bit so she can whisper into your ear equivalent.
I'll lean down.
I found them. They look okay. And they said they'd help fight the straw man.
Can you take me to them?
Are you gonna help too?
Yeah.
Follow me.
And she scampers off back into the room with all the cots and nests, and I'm assuming you follow her.
Yeah.
So as you go further into that room, there's actually a makeshift bridge that goes over top of the underground river. And it leads into a side tunnel that when you go into that, she motions to be really quiet. And she comically starts tiptoeing, where she's lifting her feet way too high to actively try to be silent. It's more of a... I think I saw someone do this once, so I think it works type thing.
That's adorable.
And
she's like, the straw man is on the other side of this wall. We don't want him to hear us. He's scary.
No one's scary to me.
Okay, and she leads you into what appears to be a larger room, and you happen to see your friends and some dwarves you don't recognize, all in cages that don't have doors.
The Great One's here!
Oh, I never thought I'd be happy to see you.
Wow, y'all look like crap.
I didn't say it.
Yes, and we need our armor.
And our weapons. And can you please get Shepard out of those ropes?
I'll take Shepard out myself.
Okay, so you go and untie Shepard, who looks like he's about to just run off into the cave, destroying everything in his path.
Shepard? Come here.
Shepard immediately hangs his head like you caught him pooping on the floor and sort of sulks over to you.
Is it good?
No longer sulking, he's the happiest puppy ever.
And I'm also untying my bird because no.
Okay, so while you're untying Justice, Meepo is there and she's sort of tentatively reaching out towards Shepard to pet him, and Shepard notices, and he's doing the same thing where the growl gets louder when Meepo reaches her hand closer, and then she moves it back and the growl stops.
Shepard?
She looks really sad.
Be nice, she's helping us.
She reaches out again. Shepard looks but doesn't growl, and she just puts her clawed hand on, like, Shepard's shoulder. And sort of like, you see her fingers go through his fur a little bit, and she giggles, and then immediately hugs Shepard around the neck.
Puppy,
pretty much,
essentially, yeah. See, I told you this dog would get us places.
I ask her about the. String.
The string?
Scarecrow.
Oh, the straw man.
Straw man, yeah.
The Great One sent him here to help the chieftain. Then our chieftain got eaten. Now it's just him. And he's a big meanie. I love our chieftain. He was nice.
Meepo, as friends of the Great One, they did not send him.
Her eyes go wide.
He lied?
Yes, he did, honey.
Why would he lie?
Because now he has an army of kobolds to do what he wants.
He is such a poo-poo head.
Yes, he is. Biggest poopoo head. Can you get us our weapons and our armor?
I'll go check.
And she scampers off again.
We probably should follow her.
We're still in the cage, which...
Oh.
Fenix, can you sort that, please?
I'm going to use my bare hands and just break it open.
Give me a strength check.
I'm going to get... Yeah. For me, best strength check ever.
And then he has a critical fail.
19.
I heard it rolling in the background.
if you had rolled a 1, my response would have been, you find yourself inside the cage with everyone else. So I'm kind of disappointed that you didn't crit fail.
Hey.
So now give me a stealth check. So, you come up to these bars, and you see there's no door. So you decide the best thing to do would be to make one. And because you are the Great One, it should be a great door. You reach up with your right hand and backhand as many of the bars as you can. You rip them out of the ground, and these bars went from the ground to the cave roof, which is, granted, not that high off the ground, but still. You rip them out of the spots that they were sort of wedged into, and about 10 of them just clatter off in the darkness. Everyone has a way out now, including the dwarves that were in the cage next to you.
The dwarves.
Yeah, there's three dwarves in the cage next to you.
Montgomery?
Which is... I thought you'd never ask.
As we dart out, I hug Fenix and then dart to the nearest shadow to kind of stealth up.
Okay, which direction are you heading?
I think we should follow the kobold that just left.
Okay, she went back the way that you came, Fenix. So you,
yeah.
This route is familiar to you. And you catch up to her when she's in this side passage, tiptoeing comically again. And she hears you coming, and she looks around, and she is motions with a lip up to her mouth. Went, shh. The act of saying shh is louder than any noise you made. When trying to be quiet, it's the equivalent of yelling at someone that they're making too much noise.
Yeah.
I rolled a 4!
Lead the way, Meepo.
Okay. So she leads you to a bridge, and it's a makeshift bridge. You're not entirely sure that it can hold the entire party's weight at once, but the good news is it's short enough that you wouldn't be able to fit the entire party on it anyway. By the time the person that's second in line is going across it, the first person's already off. And as the party gets halfway, as half the party gets across, who was in the lead?
Me.
Okay, who was second?
Me, and Shepard.
Okay, so as the three of you, including Shepard, go across...
And Justice.
I'm assuming at this point Justice is riding on your shoulder.
Yeah, 4.
Okay, 3.5. If you look at Justice's stats, Justice on a successful attack roll does 1 point of damage.
And Shepard gets his own initiative.
Yeah.
But Justice got a rabbit. Killed it.
You got dinner.
Justice is a useful member of the party that contributes. Okay, I grant you that. Okay, so as two of you were across, a bunch of kobolds that are carrying shields run up and block your way. And Meepo is in front of them, facing them, waving her hands in the air, going, "No, no! These are the Great Ones' friends!" And you can tell that these kobolds with shields look a little confused, like they're not quite sure that they should be attacking.
I say
part of it's from Meepo, part of it's from they see Fenix.
I say in Draconic, we are with the Great One, bow to his greatness.
Some of them bow down, some of them are still standing and kind of looking at each other. And you hear from behind you,
"You fools! Kill them! They tried to trick you!"
I think someone needs some burning hands in his face.
No, I think someone needs some dragon breath in their face.
That'll work too.
I agree so much right now.
Shepard needs to bite someone's face.
I believe straw burns very well.
Yeah, let's make sure. Yeah, if you're going to pull the fire out of your mouth, let's make sure we move Meepo out the way.
Well, this voice came from behind us. Meepo was in front of us.
Yeah. So
180.
Yeah. Ari and Punk and Obane are on the other side of this bridge, because you hadn't gone across yet. The Scarecrow is there with you. You didn't even hear him come up.
How far is he away from us?
I'd say he's within range of some flaming hands.
Are we looking at initiative
that's
here?
That's what you were planning to do.
Yeah, the minute he shows up, I'm going to be like, burn. Okay.
Well,
burn,
at this point,
you...
Let's roll for initiative.
Yeah, that sounds
good.
Yeah,
there we go.
All right. Nobody 19? Asked you, Cat.
Wait.
That's the great thing about cats. They are willing to contribute without having to be asked first.
Right, so am I splitting Shepard's initiative as of now then?
Well, he doesn't have that special ability yet. That's level 5, right?
Okay, yes, that's level 5.
So let's keep this simple for now, because we have been recording for almost 2 hours.
Okay.
Okay, so, Fenix, what's your initiative roll?
9 toy.
Vex.
20.
Obane.
10.
Alright, we need to get a dice.
16.
Leave my dice alone.
Actually, I'm going to say Punk is not with you. You suddenly realize you kind of forgot to untie him.
Whoops.
Yeah, you kind of left him hanging there. I refuse to RP his character. I'll probably do it wrong. And I really don't want to have Tom come back and say, "So, how'd the game go?" About character.
I'm just imagining him right now.
Death this. By kobolds?
I'm imagining him right now, just like looking around, hanging by one leg, going,
guys,
guys, fellas,
little help. So, there were 14 kobolds with firearms.
All Eric's fault.
Granted, half of them shot themselves in the foot, but
bad
one unlucky.
So good news, one of them crit failed. The bad news is it crit failed and the weapon exploded while it was next to you. Alrighty. So,
I'm laughing.
Vex, you are top of the initiative order.
Okay. How far away is it from Shepard?
Shepard would have to jump over this underground river, and you're not quite sure he would make the leap.
He'd have to take the bridge. Right?
And the bridge right now is currently blocked by people who it's not their turn in initiative yet.
Okay. Is there any, like, rocks or on the floor I could just pick up and chuck at them?
You're in a cave.
Okay, Absolutely. So there are rocks. Okay. So
kobolds are not known for being very
tidy housekeepers.
No,
that would be a way of describing it. Yes. So these floors are not swept clean.
Because I don't have my longbow yet, so I pick up a rock and I chuck it at them.
Okay, give me a roll to hit.
What am I adding?
I'm just gonna say
probably just
modifier.
Dex.
What did the DM say? Because two people spoke there.
Oh, sorry.
We both said the same thing, though. Dex.
Yeah, oh, Dex.
Okay. And he hasn't went, so I get advantage. So that is 19 to hit.
I'm gonna say give me a 1d4 for damage just because. That's probably more damage than you should be able to get with a rock, but...
Oh. There we go. 4.
There is an audible, like... You ever slap your hand against a pumpkin that's been hollowed out into a jack-o'-lantern?
I've never seen a pumpkin in my life.
Okay. No, it's a cultural thing. That's fine. There's a hollow sound as that rock bounces off this thing's head, right between where the eyes should be, and its head sort of snaps back, but then comes forward again.
And as it hits, I just scream, "That's for tying up my dog."
Okay. Moral high ground achieved.
I feel better. I'm not gonna lie, I feel better.
Okay. The kobolds sort of just stand there. They're not quite sure what to do, for the most part. Meepo is trying her best to encourage them to fight the straw man because he's a big meanie. But she's not exactly a combatant. All right, it is the scarecrow's turn. And I literally just closed that window. Okay. So, it is going to... It looks right at Ari. Ari, I need a wisdom save.
Whoa.
Fortunately, I am very proficient in those. At 20. That means I got a 23.
Okay, so that same feeling of unnatural fear that Vex felt, you feel that wash over you, but it's kind of like it's distant, like you're aware that it should be creepy, but it's not quite pulling it off.
Is the scarecrow class as a humanoid?
We have no idea what they are.
Metagaming, now your character wouldn't know this because you failed your history check horribly, but they are considered constructs.
Okay. Just because if it was a yes, then it was an extra 2 damage.
Okay, and I am grabbing some dice here because, and someone listening to this recording might end up saying, but wait, scarecrows can't do all this at once, but scarecrows can't talk either. Something else has been done to this scarecrow.
Hopefully we're about to undo what's been done to this scarecrow.
I feel
it kind of realizes that of all the people here, Ari might be the biggest threat to it. So while it's glaring at you, it comes at you with its claws. What's your armor class again?
13, because I have not had a chance to cast the mage armor yet.
Do we even have any of our clothes back?
You're wearing what you normally wear underneath your armor.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't have my leather, so I'm at a 13 AC.
You do not feel a draft.
Okay, good.
Fenix, however, is fully armed and armored.
Yeah, we'll play armor.
But he's on the other side of a bridge.
Yeah.
I have some bad news for you. It did miss with one swipe.
Okay.
The other swipe hit with a 20.
Uh-oh.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
As long as I don't go down.
Nine points of damage.
Okay.
Where's everybody right now?
For the record, normal damage would be 2d4 plus 1.
So wait, 4d4 plus 1, and he got a total of 9?
And I got a total of 9.
Oof.
Isn't my initiative after Akari? Okay, Vex.
Yes, but it's the scarecrow right now.
Scarecrow's turn. Yeah.
So the scarecrow rolled higher than you.
Actually, I forgot to put Vex in. Thanks into the initiative order. I asked him and literally didn't put it there.
Yeah,
rolled
he's
a 19.
Okay, so, Fenix, you're on the side with all the kobolds with shields.
Because I was able to get past them, because, yeah.
Well, they're, let's put it this way. Where you're standing, when you came across the bridge was behind you, and the river's behind you. The dwarves with shields were in front of you. The scarecrow is behind you on the other side of the river. None of the kobolds appear to be threatening you in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And Meepo apparently is your biggest fan.
Alright, I'm going to, I'm going to, like, move my whole entire, movement to, the scarecrow.
Okay, you might have to knock, Ari or Obame out of the way to get to the scarecrow. Because they are right on the other side of the bridge, and the scarecrow is on the other side of them.
You can do this,
but you might have to pick one or the other to shove.
Would it hurt them in any way?
You are rather large.
That would be a roll to determine.
All right, screw it, I'm doing it.
Okay, so you charge forward.
Charge forth!
All right. You look behind you, and Meepo is sort of like holding pom-poms and cheering. so you run across the bridge. It sort of shudders under your weight. It's not used to someone as large as you running as hard as you. So who are you more likely to try to push? The wizard or the dwarf?
Well,
you got to pick one or both.
Pick both.
Okay, wow. So Ari and Obame, give me dex saves.
Oh, God.
This is like the worst for both of them.
11 plus 2, 12. That's I'm sorry, 13. I think 13.
Okay, and Ari?
Total of 7. I got a plus 3. I'm not horrible. It's just you roll a 4 and it comes up.
Ari narrowly misses getting shoved into the underground river.
Oh my god.
Which he doesn't know, but the current is strong enough that he would then have to make an additional save to try to avoid getting pulled into the whirlpool further down the road.
I have spells for that.
But with this done, basically, the dex save was for the two of you to get out of the way. It was a bit of a dodge type thing. So, Logan, you can make an attack roll. Fenix can make an attack roll. Logan can talk about it.
Which I will do. Oh my god.
That's one?
No. That was a 21? Yeah, 21.
Natural 20 or unnatural 20?
No, it was a 17 plus 4.
Okay. All right, so I'm assuming you're attacking with your long sword of awesomeness?
Yeah.
Okay, give me some damage.
Logan, just to give you a heads up, your bonus isn't 4, your bonus is 6.
My bonus, what? How is it 6?
It's a plus 2 sword. But you also have your proficiency bonus, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
In any case, you hit. Roll for damage.
That's 15 damage.
Okay, you give a mighty swing and the sword goes through the body. and comes out the other side. And if it was a regular non-animated scarecrow, it would fall apart from the strike. But the pieces, even though they really shouldn't still be connected, they're still kind of connected. And it screams in rage and pain. But because it's weird like that, its scream is still a whisper.
I was waiting for it.
You're welcome. I provide a valuable service.
Yes, and now, you do.
And now is the moment we've all been waiting for. It is Ari's turn in the initiative order.
Yeah. Fire him up!
Unfortunately, I have a large dragonborn now in my way. Adam will pay for the price of knocking me down.
I got dragon's breath. I don't need that.
Yeah, I'm surprised fire. You didn't try to breathe fire at the scarecrow, to be honest. But you have the epic sword of awesomeness, so that's okay, too.
Yeah.
All right, so I am going to use a second level spell slot with Burning Hands. So both the creature and, unfortunately, our dragonborn friend must make a dex save. DC is 14.
All right. Yeah. That's not a pass.
Yeah.
So, no, I didn't add the dex modifier. That's not a pass.
Okay. 4d6, I rolled 16.
You have a torch. You feel like you should attend a festival about the
light him
in
up.
Front of you, because it looks like a burning man.
There we go.
You think it might still be screaming, but you can't hear it over the crackling flames.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Wait, how much damage did I take?
Depends on your dex save.
I'm rolling. Oh, that was beautiful. First natural 20 of the day.
Then you take 8 fire.
And by the way, I'm just kidding. That was a 5.
Then you take 16 fire.
Good lord.
Do Dragonborn have a resistance to fire, though? Fire damage?
I don't think so.
No, I think tieflings only. Dragonborn 16? Gets to breathe it. They don't get to resist it. Yeah,
I think
pumped
it's
it.
Some of them. Double check.
I pumped my spell.
You have enough to spare. Don't worry about it.
Logan, what type of Dragonborn are you?
He's gold.
He's a gold dragonborn.
You have resistance to the damage type associated with your draconic ancestry.
Yep. So he does have fire resistance.
All right. So then he takes 8. Yeah, you take 8.
Okay. So it singes you. It doesn't feel good. It stings a little, but it's a good kind of sting. It's like acupuncture or something.
yeah.
And the flames make your armor gleam a bit more. It sort of glows in the firelight. You strike a heroic pose.
We scourged off the dirt.
As a matter of fact, no, it's not that Ari cast Burning Hands. This is your fire. You did this. You sort of directed it this way. That's how it feels to you.
Say Ari wants to kill me right now.
No. We want to kill the scarecrow. You just happen to be in the way.
So you used it anyway.
Darn right I did.
It was only a matter of time before someone took...
You resist fire damage. I knew this, so I knew you were relatively safe.
No, you did not.
It was only a matter of time before someone got hit in the wizard's destructive tendency blast.
So do we just have, like, a pile of burning sticks now?
It is still standing upright, but it is currently on fire and not happy with anyone around it.
So it is not. It has not ceased activation or ceased its animation.
So, it has not fallen down.
Okay.
But it's Obame's turn.
Do I have a clear line of sight on it right now?
It is right next to you.
All right, I'm going to throw
that. If you had a stick with a marshmallow, you'd be having a lot of fun. Right.
Mind you, I'm also in front of it.
Yeah, okay, but he can't
target. Because you sort of pushed Obame and Ari out of the way.
On either side.
Yeah, you're like a three across row at this right. point. With Ari is currently prone. So that's kind of how you got hit in the blast. It was a matter of angles.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go ahead and we're going to hit it with a guiding, hold on. Guiding bolt.
Okay.
Where is it? I made this thing larger. All right, hold on. Let me roll here. 18 plus 6, 24.
24 damage?
No, 24 to hit.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, wow. That's from the cleric.
That exploded fairness.
Did you go DPS spec? What?
And fairness. This is, guiding bolt is 46. So,
46 radiant.
She could do that much
yeah,
damage.
You could have hit it twice.
So 11, 15 damage. Radiant damage.
And this is the glitter bomb one, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
He is not so just on attack. Fire and angry, he is also fabulous.
And next attack has advantage on him.
Okay, well, it turns out, today's your lucky day, Vex.
Oh, is it my turn?
Obame was last in the initiative order.
It's oh, nice. Now. I would like to pick up another rock, because that's all I can do. I don't do things. Ooh, actually, can I Hunter's Mark it, and will that work on if this rock hits?
This rock's gonna hit.
I'm gonna say rock throwing is an improvised attack.
Because it does just say ranged attack. I'm throwing it.
The DM is feeling generous. Sure.
Because it does just say attack. Cool.
Throws the rock through it.
That's a 20 to hit.
That is a hit.
So that's a d4 plus d6.
What part of the body are you aiming for?
The chest or the head? So we'll say the chest.
Okay.
But that's 6 points of damage.
The rock goes through the chest and bounces off into the distance behind it. Now, if it had been a living, breathing creature, that would have been a fatal blow. However, it is a construct, so now there is a rock-shaped hole in the center of its mass.
Since I saw Phoenix just bolt through the people on the bridge, can I have Shepard do the same?
Now there's a Phoenix blocking the bridge. So, it's more blocked than it was before.
Okay.
Also, you would have Shepard attacking something that is currently on fire. Shepard would take damage.
Yes, he would. I just realized that it's actually on fire. Yes. Okay, that's my rock throwing complete.
Vex intelligently realizes telling his puppy to attack burning things is a bad idea.
Important safety tip.
I forgot it was on fire.
Phoenix, it's your turn.
Well, let's burn it up even more, shall we?
I've been waiting for this.
I'm gonna burn it with dragon breath.
Yes, let the kobolds bow to your draconic awesomeness.
Okay. Bad thing is, I forgot this again. Jeez.
Isn't it like 2d6 damage or something like that?
I had the page open on the handbook a second ago. Let me check.
I had the right page open, but then I switched to a different page to look up a spell.
I have it here.
I got it. A target will take a make a saving throw.
Dex saving throw.
Yeah, dex saving throw. The modifier is 8 plus the constitution modifier plus proficiency bonus of our characters.
I'm going to tell you right now it didn't make the saving throw. I just rolled
it. And then it's 2d6.
2d6. Yep.
Fire damage.
That's 12.
With its modifier, its you saving throw rolled was a 7. So, no. It's,
yeah, it's at least a DC 6s. 10. He's at least a 10.
Beautiful little man. He did 12 fire damage.
Okay, so the thing that was on fire is now more on fire. But additionally, as this dragonborn that... There's more dragonborn here than there should really be able to fit in the cave here. And suddenly he just has this huge blast of fire come out of his mouth as he roars and the cave walls shake. Little bits of detritus and rock, loose rock fall from the ceiling in the process. And you hear from behind you all the kobolds that are watching this go, "Ooh." A few of them clap. Over to the side, you see them holding up placards. One says 9, one says 10, one says 9, one says 8.5.
It's a 2 from the Russian judge.
There's a goblin that shows up holding up a 2, and the rest of them like beat the goblin to death. With their signs. Which is weird because they're made of cardboard, but they do it anyway. Okay, so... The scarecrow has just not stopped screaming. You're not sure it will ever stop. But it's still going... And it does a flying leap over Obame. Obame, would you like to make an attack of opportunity?
I would. Can I cast another spell?
That's a good question. Can you cast a spell as an attack of opportunity?
No.
I don't think you can.
No.
So,
unless you have like a spell sniper feat that allows you, I think it's spell sniper feat that you could do it with a cantrip. But otherwise, no.
No, okay. I have a sacred flame cantrip and that's it.
No.
But you don't have a feat though.
You don't have the feat.
No, I don't.
Okay, so you could do some type of unarmed strike against the flaming scarecrow.
No, it's okay. I'll let it go.
Okay. I did have something prepared for if you had tried that you might have appreciated. But okay, so it jumps over you and into the water. And it sort of bobs up about 10 feet down, but it's moving rapidly away because this river is... Remember, you could hear the sound of running water that was quite loud. This is not a slow-moving body of water. It is getting pulled hard by the current. And you can sort of just barely make out over the sound of running water.
The mouth will take you. You are still doomed.
And that last word, doomed, is more like, doomed. And the head goes down. But it goes down close enough to the whirlpool that you're not sure it's going to come back up again.
We can't see it anymore, can we?
You cannot see. You do not have line of sight. And I'm going to say you are out of initiative. And the kobolds are... some of them are still kind of confused. What do you do when mommy and daddy are having a fight? Some of them look very happy. Some of them look kind of sad or upset or whatever. Meepo runs over and gives Fenix the biggest hug she can possibly do. Her arms don't reach all the way around Fenix's waist. But she's... And as Fenix moves, she's sort of just like, her feet aren't on the ground, so he has a Meepo belt, kind of. But she's cheering. She's happy.
I just tap her on the head. There.
And I think this is a perfect point to end this week's adventure.
Woo.
What do you think?
Sounds good. Scarecrow got away.